Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Anissa Abd El Fattah. She is the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, also known by the acronym NAMAW. That's the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anissa has been on this show on one other occasion. I think it's absolutely important to have her back because of the relevance of her issues to where we are as a culture today in this country. And as I was saying earlier in the broadcast, Mark Lynn of the American Free Press and I were talking last evening about the way in which Muslims are perceived by a lot of Americans in a particular way. Why is that? And is a lot of that propaganda that has been targeted, where American minds are being targeted in a particular way so that they will see the Muslim community in the way that certain powers that be want them to perceive the Muslims, at the same time that it diverts American attention from the folks who may really be behind the political and cultural and economic problems of this country. These are just some of the things that we want to talk to Anissa about this morning. Anissa, how are you?
I'm fine, Mark. How are you this morning?
Well, very good. I was just telling the listeners in the first hour of the show about baseball. We were talking a little bit about Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants, who hit the home run, breaking home run last night to become the leading home run hitter of all time in American baseball. And, of course, that involves a steroid drug controversy, unfortunately. But I was telling the listeners that in October of 1962, I was 7 years old living outside of Candlestick Park in San Francisco. I was living on a military reservation connected with McClellan Air Force Base in Sacramento, California, and that was the month and year, October of 1962, of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the fact that at that time, of course, Khrushchev and Kennedy were eyeball to eyeball, and we almost had a nuclear war over that whole situation. My father was directly involved as an Air Force colonel in Air Force intelligence in those days, and I was 7 years old, but grasped just what a dangerous situation it was. So when the Giants lost the World Series to the Yankees in the last inning of the last game, all of that was important to me and traumatized me as a Giant fan, as a small boy, until my mother had my older brother and me in front of the television watching Kennedy's speech on Russian missiles in Cuba, and then all of a sudden the things that are really important got my attention, and I have never forgotten that. All these years later, as I watch all these Americans focusing upon Barry Bonds and upon baseball and the start of the National Football League's training camps and all of these other ridiculous things, I'm struck by the fact that the people of the United States seem to be ignoring what's going on in the Middle East. They seem to be ignoring what's happened to their own economy and culture. And in a very significant way, it seems to me that there is a very dangerous brainwashing going on, a passivity on the part of the American public, where they focus upon baseball and football and the latest hairstyles or whatever it happens to be, and they don't really seem to get the larger dangers that are threatening them and that threaten the entire world. What's your feeling about that?
Well, you know, I think that we have reached a point in our society, and this is probably, if we were looking at some of the ramifications of the Iraq war and all of the lies and distortions of the truth that took us into that war, then we can kind of see that that had a greater effect, or another effect, maybe equally as horrendous as the effect of actually sending our children over into Iraq to die, that it also eroded the public trust in almost anything. So I think people divert to these distractions because psychologically, I think our society is really being traumatized by kind of the things that are going on. Who would have ever imagined?
We'll be back.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes medium mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in the last 2 hours of the show by Anissa Abdel Fattah. She is the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. We're going to be chatting about some things political and cultural and theological with Anissa this morning that I think are of utmost importance to you, whether you are a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whether you are an American or whether you have a different national affiliation. I think Anissa brings a series of items to our attention that are well worth your time. And as I was saying at the start of the show today, in October of 1962, I was a boy of seven. In the bottom of the ninth inning of Game 7, the deciding game of the World Series between the Giants and the Yankees in Candlestick Park in San Francisco, I was listening to Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons announcing the game. When Willie McCovey came to the plate against Ralph Terry with Matty Alou on third base, Willie Mays on second base, first base was open. For some reason, Ralph Houk made the inexplicable decision to allow Ralph Terry to pitch to Willie McCovey rather than walking him intentionally. McCovey had homered off Ralph Terry earlier in the series. Ralph Terry had given up a walk-off home run to Bill Mazeroski in the deciding game of the 1960 World Series in Forbes Field between the Yankees and the Pirates. Nonetheless, Houk allowed McCovey to pitch, or I'm sorry, allowed Ralph Terry to pitch to Willie McCovey. McCovey ended up hitting a terrific line drive that was caught by Bobby Richardson in the short outfield grass in right field, and that was the end of the Giants that year, stranding the winning run on third and the tying run on third and the winning run on second. That was important to me, folks, until John F. Kennedy came on television to explain to me and to millions of other Americans watching at the time that the Soviet Union had put nuclear-tipped missiles into Cuba and that the United States and Russia were at the brink of war. My father at that time was an Air Force colonel in Air Force Intelligence. I was going to a school for Air Force children connected with McClellan Air Force Base in Sacramento, California. In those days, we all got it. There was a sense that we understood all of a sudden that there was nothing more important than our relationship with the God that we believed in, whatever version of that God we happen to believe in as Americans at that time individually, but our relationship with God and with our family members and friends and whether or not we survived, not only this country, but whether or not the world survived, that's what our focus suddenly became. Here we are 45 years later, folks, and as Anissa said at the beginning of the hour, we went into Iraq, the United States did, in her judgment and in mine, under false pretenses. Thousands of people have been killed. We tend to focus in this country upon the Americans that have lost their lives. We tend not to focus upon the hundreds of thousands of people. As a matter of fact, if you count the people that have died in Iraq under the age of five because of these UN sanctions before this latest war, we have killed, frankly, at this point, figures that now begin to get into the million figure. The American public seems not to be focused upon that or focused upon the fact that we might go to war with Iran or why we would be doing that or the fact that we are at the brink of what seems to be political, military, economic, and cultural extinction with the direction that we are following as a nation. What are they focused upon? Barry Bonds hitting his 756th home run last night under steroidally clouded conditions. I think this country's got a problem, folks, and that's part of the reason why we're talking to Anissa this morning. Anissa, you were mentioning this whole business of what is generally acknowledged by any thinking person now to be the false pretenses governing what the United States did in March of 2003. The implications of this continue to blow my mind that we're talking here, actually, in my view, about criminal acts, and yet the American public continues to just kind of drift along. You were talking about this in terms of what seems to be a despairing kind of passivity. Is that correct?
Well, I think, you know, just in very simple terms, that people don't know what to believe. And people are overwhelmed, and they don't know who to believe. You know, when you have your pundits, when something seems clear, I'm thinking like you now, back to when we were children. I think you and I are in the same age group. I was born in 55.
Hey, I was too. I wasn't trying to give away your age.
No,
I apologize.
Okay. I thank God for every year.
Yes.
One thing I have never done, I've never lied about my age. I'm scared to do it because I want God to keep giving me years and years. And I think if I, you know,
I
act like
July
I didn't get some
year
of them, it'd be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Well, I turned 52 in July, so we're in the same ballpark. Go ahead.
So then you understand what I mean when I say that during that time when we were growing up, and I was born in St. Louis and raised in pretty much between St. Louis, Missouri, and Chicago, Illinois, we were the young people that grew up with fallout shelters.
Yes.
We did raids where we would have to get under our desk and put our hands over our heads. We did drills.
Yeah.
We had to walk out of the school and go to the nearest fallout shelter and stand for 5 minutes to make sure that we knew where to go in case the sirens would go off. We were a generation that expected a nuclear attack from Russia. We were a generation in our classrooms that were taught about propaganda and how to identify propaganda and spies. I don't know if they did that in California, but in the public schools in St. Louis, they certainly did it. And I remember very well our teachers talking to us about propaganda, what propaganda is, how it undermines societies. We were a generation of young people who were brought up very much in touch with the vulnerability of a free society and the need for every citizen to be vigilant and to be part of the fight for freedom. That was so much a part of our social and cultural upbringing. Young people today don't have any of that. And I think that many middle-aged people have kind of forgotten or turned away from that because of everything that happened in the 60s and the 70s with Watergate, feeling of patriotism, trust in government, all of these things slowly starting to erode. Then we come to March of 2003, the invasion of Iraq, and then learning that most and all of that was lies. So,
yes.
Yeah, people will turn to Barry Bonds because it's one of the true things. I mean, you make the point even that's even tainted with steroid use, and that also is kind of a commentary on our society. It's, you know, even in popular culture, there's almost nowhere to run and nowhere to hide from the reality that our culture is
sick,
is eroding. Yes, that it's sick and it's in decline.
Yes, and in a little while, I will kind of steer the conversation in the direction of who the people might be in our culture who are most responsible for this ultimately. But you're exactly right. As I think about being born in 1955, I was born in Wiesbaden, Germany, at an Air Force hospital, American Air Force hospital. My parents at the time were stationed in Turkey. The Air Force flew my mother to the Air Force hospital there in Germany in Wiesbaden for me to be born. Within 6 months, we were back in the United States again. But as I think about being born in 1955, I can barely remember Dwight David Eisenhower as president. I do remember when we were stationed in Washington, D.C., with the organization that my dad was working for at that time, which I now know was working with the CIA and the Atomic Energy Commission to monitor Soviet nuclear sites and Soviet test explosions, nuclear explosions, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But back in that time, I remember Dwight David Eisenhower barely. My dad took me to Old Griffith Stadium in Washington, D.C. to see Mickey Mantle when the Yankees would come into Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I was once in a while watching the Washington Redskins in those days in their most moribund years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember 1960 when my dad was transferred from Washington, D.C. to McClellan Air Force Base in Sacramento. We drove clear across the United States in his 1960 Plymouth station wagon. And I got to see all kinds of places in this country. And thankfully, that was an experience for me that would be repeated over a period of all the years that followed, either traveling in this country or my dad's jobs in the Air Force took us to the Middle East and to Europe and to Asia. So I got to see a lot of the world. But just in terms of the American scene, Anissa, thinking about our television shows, I can remember the Dick Van Dyke Show. I remember Bonanza.
Yes.
I remember Combat, which depicted the American military in World War II in Germany in a completely different vein and light from the way many of us perceive the American military now.
Right.
And, of course, you know, thinking about those shows and some of the great variety shows of that time that involved Bing Crosby and Milton Berle.
Yes, and Jack Benny and...
Exactly. Jack Benny and all of those folks. My dad's favorite singer was a country music singer by the name of Eddie Arnold, quite possibly the most significant country western artist of all time.
Well, he was crossover. He crossed over because I know that my family, we were not big country and western fans per se. My mother was because she was raised in the Ozarks in Missouri. She was a big country and western music fan. But all of us in our household listen to Eddie Arnold.
Yes, and all these years later, and I'm a Lutheran pastor, and I have Johann Sebastian Bach in my record collection. Last night I was listening to something actually sent to me from the former Soviet Union some years ago by a Russian that has never met me.
Yeah.
But this Russian sent me in the mail, sent it here to Texas, a beautiful recording of Peter Tchaikovsky's rendition of St. John Chrysostom's liturgy that was put together by the USSR Ministry of Culture and their choir and orchestra. I was listening to that last night, but I happen to have about 50 Eddie Arnold albums that I collected over a period of many years, and I was really hit by something, and I know that this is something of a diversion, but I think it's important for the listeners who remember these things or who don't remember them to have some cultural reference here. That when we come back, I'll get at my point, and then we'll get back to focusing upon some of your issues, Anissa.
Okay.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Anissa Abd El Fattah of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
House America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Anisa Abd El Fata. She is the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, NAMAW. We'll be talking more throughout the broadcast about that organization and about Anisa's most recent article coming out under their auspices, which I want the listeners to have some acquaintance with. I receive Anisa's email updates, and this article that she has written is a most compelling piece. We were talking with Anisa before the break about the fact that, like me, she is the same age. We were both born in 1955. I did not know until today that Anisa was in the United States in the 1960s, that she was a part of that whole Middle American St. Louis-Chicago nexus in those days. And I'm a Midwesterner historically. My parents are from a small town in Iowa. They're products of the Great Depression. My dad entered the Army Air Corps, left his college football program in Nebraska, and entered the Army Air Corps the day after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, never to leave the American Air Force and things related to it for the remainder of his life, literally. I mean, my dad's still living right near Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio. He spent 45 years in or around the Air Force, both on active duty, 32 years, and then he spent 12 to 15 years, I think, working in Iran and in Saudi Arabia, as an advisor to the air forces of those countries many years ago. But before the break, Nisa and I were discussing, of all things, Eddie Arnold, the great country western artist, of course, who pioneered the country pop crossover phenomenon. I referenced Eddie Arnold to this conversation because going back to that time, Eddie Arnold, if you go back and find his records, you young people who are listening, you probably don't even know who he is. He was the most significant country western artist in history, had more number one and number ten hits than any other country western artist in history. He was the first country western artist to appear in Carnegie Hall in New York. He was the first country western artist to appear on all of the syndicated television shows of the golden age of television, Dinah Shore, Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, Bing Crosby, all of those. Eddie Arnold would be the very first person in history elected to be the Country Music Association's Entertainer of the Year. He was the very first one, and the only one in history who got that award before, or I should say after, 1 year after being elected to the Country Music Hall of Fame. That feat will never be duplicated. And 2 years ago, folks, 2 years ago, believe it or not, Eddie Arnold is still living. He's 89 years old now. 2 years ago, at the age of 87, he came out of retirement, went into the studio with RCA one more time, and recorded an album entitled After All These Years. It's very hard to get a hold of it. You can still get it via the internet, and Barnes & Noble and Borders might have one copy of it. But Eddie Arnold recorded his final album just 2 years ago, and there's a song on there, among others, entitled I Want to Be Home With You. And I was talking with a guy who lost his son in Iraq, and he was listening to this Eddie Arnold CD in his car while he was driving one day, thinking about what had happened to his son. And Eddie Arnold came on singing this song, and it was so absolutely poignant in the lyrics that this guy got so emotionally upset he almost ran the car off the road, thinking about the power of what Eddie Arnold was singing about in a culture that is long gone, folks, long gone. And Anissa, the only reason I talk about all of this morning is that, again, you and I are old enough to remember a different America, and we grew up at a time when the sick culture that we now have to live with and in was just beginning to metamorphosize into what it is now. So right. we remember a different time. Now we see all of this ugliness, and this ugliness, taking the long way around the barn, this ugliness has manifested itself, in my view, in the way that this contemporary culture views Muslim Americans. And this leads us to where you come into this. What have you seen of this country in your own lifetime and in recent times that suggests that there's something that's happened here that should concern every American, as it relates to the Middle East, as it relates to the war on terror, and what it's doing to our contemporary culture in the way that people of your religious faith are being particularly demonized by the American media?
Well, let's begin kind of where you began. Like I said, I grew up in between St. Louis, Missouri, and Chicago, Illinois. We are part of that generation of young people who were taught to be patriots, to love our country. We were part of that group generation that never saw men and women in bed on television, husbands and wives, you know, the Nelsons and Ozzie and Harriet, they slept in two separate beds. We had kissing, but nothing in comparison to what we see on television now, even during what's considered the family hour on television.
Or as Dean Martin would put it, for your family, not mine.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yes. We, like you said, are very much aware kind of the transition that our society took. And I guess probably our generation and those generations preceded us are the best commentators on the decline of culture in the United States. And I guess
when we come back, Anissa, I want to talk to you about how and why you think this decline has happened and who's largely responsible.
Okay.
We will be back with Anissa Abdel Fattah, the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, when Mark Dankos America returns live on RBN, coming to you from San Antonio today. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Mark Danfaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Anissa Abd El Fattah, the director, national director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, also known by the acronym N as in Nancy, N-A-M as in Mark, A-W, N-A-M-A-W, the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anissa and I are talking about what we remember mutually of American culture in the 1960s, growing up in the American Midwest, Anissa did, between Chicago and St. Louis, talking about what has happened in all the years since to this country and what it means both for Muslim Americans who live in this culture as well as for the rest of us living in American culture who are not Muslims but who are decent people. What has happened to us, folks? We need to focus upon this in the next hour and a half. Anissa, you were talking about the fact that clearly when you look at the television shows of that period and what you remember, there was a completely different emphasis on things than there is now.
Well, and, completely different ethic.
Yes.
There was a completely different sense of morality. And even in our public schools, and this is the probably where most people would pinpoint the beginning of the breakdown was, I remember in public school in St. Louis, Missouri, we used to say the Lord's Prayer. We used to say the Pledge of Allegiance each morning before class started. We did not have this kind of a militancy in our society that was against religion, that sought to sterilize American society, to cleanse it of any type of moral thinking, and that was so focused on pure science as the dictator and determinant of, you know, how we would perceive who we are as a biological entity, you know, as well as who we are as spiritual entities and who we are as political people and citizens of this country. As I said before, patriotism was very much a part of our cultural upbringing. The church was the center of society, probably in most communities I know, certainly, you know, in the Midwest. Morality was something that was held in very high esteem. Even a poor person, and I remember in some small towns, the joke used to be that the mayor of those towns may not even have had an eighth grade education, but when you would ask people, wow, how did he get to be mayor? They would tell you he was a good man. They would talk about all of his virtues and his attributes. Nowadays, if you look at the debates on television, you can't ask about a candidate's virtues. You can only ask about his education, his credentials, how long he's been a part of politics, what policies he supported, and how he voted. We're not allowed to ask about this person's character, about their background. Are they good people? Are they virtuous?
And we're told that it doesn't matter, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And if we ask, then we're being puritanical. We're being hypocritical. All people are sinners. And so we shouldn't even look at our candidates or our leaders from that perspective. We're only to know what they mastered in, you know, academically and what they have achieved in their professional lives, even though you and I both know that a certain part of accomplishment and a certain type of society requires a certain amount of unethical behavior. So it's almost kind of like a contradictory way that we are expected to make judgments about who the people are that will lead us, and also the policies and things that we will support. We even have a big debate in this country now about what are leaders supposed to do. Are they supposed to lead the people or represent the people? How far out ahead of us are our leaders supposed to go? In other words, do we really have a democracy in the United States anymore, particularly considering that our executive branch has closed its ears to the people and even to the Congress?
And to the Constitution.
And to the Constitution. And so people are asking now, well, what does leadership mean in the United States anymore? Does it mean that someone sets policies and we are supposed to just blindly follow? Or does it mean that our leaders are supposed to be representative of the sentiments and the desires and the aspirations of the people who elect them? So even for us now, that's kind of fuzzy and kind of blurred. And I think most of that is because we allowed a certain group of people to become rooted not only in our political culture, but also in our academic culture and our religious culture, who slowly but surely kind of have changed our way of perceiving ourselves, our society, right and wrong, and all of these things. And so here we stand today kind of in a fog.
I'm going to go out on a limb with this, Anissa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Lutheran pastor. Mm-hmm. I come historically from the Taft-Buchanan wing of the Republican Party.
Okay.
As you know, my father was an Air Force colonel during World War II, the Cold War. He traveled and literally he was in 67 different countries in a 45-year career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with that kind of background, of course, thankfully I had an opportunity at one point to spend some time in Turkey. Off and on, I visited my parents many times when my dad was working for Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's Air Force for a few years before the revolution in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after my dad was out of the Air Force. He was working for Lockheed in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But I became acquainted with Middle Eastern people in a general sense. I don't speak a Middle Eastern language, and yet I learned something about Iran. My dad made sure of that when I got over there, that I wasn't just playing fast-pitch softball and running 10 miles a day on my own, but I had to learn something about Persian culture and learn something about the Achaemenid dynasty of ancient Persia, as that related certainly to the Old Testament, and to learn something about contemporary Iran. My dad took me around the country. I met different people. And to me, when I remember those experiences, and I remember the Iranian people that I knew, and I'm talking about folks that were not in positions of power or influence in that culture. I'm talking about average folks that I would meet on the streets of Tehran, who in many cases spoke very little of my own language, and I spoke none of theirs. And I would meet these folks in these villages that on the weekends my dad and I would travel out to. And frankly, I have to say to our listeners, I remember in the main what a decent, godly people I perceived the Iranian people to be. That was my own experience. Now, there was a cultural difference there where sometimes we would run into misunderstandings. But basically, I had a very positive experience with the Iranian people when my parents lived there. Now, all these years later, mm-hmm. I am reading about a version of Iran, mm-hmm. and I'm reading, seeing things on Fox News and so forth, mm-hmm. where there is a depiction, not simply of Muslims generally worldwide, but in this case, thinking of the Shiite Muslims that I knew in Iran years ago, there is a depiction, a demonization of these people, that as I watch this unfolding in the American media, I think, this is a pack of lies. I know these people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
If you remember when the first oil crisis started in the 70s,
yes,
there was this demonization of Saudi Arabia, you remember? Even on
yes.
the sitcoms and things. Every sitcom featured a Saudi sheikh surrounded by a harem full of women that was spending lots of money and killing United States at the pump, right? And we were told that the oil crisis was part of a greater plan of the Arabs to break the United States and to destroy us through gouging prices at the pump. And then we found out that it wasn't the Saudi Arabians at all that were controlling. It wasn't OPEC that was controlling those prices, that it was oil companies right here in the United States, our own oil companies, who were making tremendous profits off of raising the price of oil. And that's how we came up with what they called a windfall tax that was supposed to cause these oil companies to have to give some of that money to the government because it was just the profit that they were making was unheard of during that time. Now, when we look and see how the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States was affected by all of the damning propaganda that came out before we figured out that it was our own oil companies that were killing us at the pump, then when we look now at what's going on with Iran, we see kind of the same thing. When we look at what's going on in respect to relations between Muslims and non-Muslims, we see that this same force is at work in spoiling relationships between Muslims and other people throughout the world. So we have to, say this is not a new phenomenon. We've seen how it's been used before.
And it's deliberate and it's targeted.
It's political. And the interesting thing about it is that it is not in our interest and it is not in the U.S. It's not something that is to our benefit.
Ultimately, you're exactly right, as this present disaster in Iraq is proof positive of. And frankly, when I look at this, and I'm right now teaching a class as a Lutheran pastor on what the Bible does and does not teach about prophecy. Mm-hmm. That's taking place at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on the south side of San Antonio on Wednesday nights and also mm-hmm. on Sunday mornings. I have had to bring into this picture into my theological, in biblical conversations with my own people down there, mm-hmm. some of the political and cultural material that I think directly relates to this. And frankly, to me, whether we're looking at the demonization of Muslims in this country mm-hmm. or we're looking at the demonization of Muslim nations vis-a-vis mm-hmm. Israel in the Middle East,
right.
or we're looking at what has happened to American culture
right.
with the promotion of abortion on demand and,
right.
and homosexual lifestyles and
right.
heterosexual promiscuity and all of these other things,
right.
I've had to say to my own people, with the evidence in hand,
mm-hmm.
folks, I am not a quote-unquote anti-Semite, but the fact of the matter is when you look at the evidence that I am bringing into this classroom mm-hmm. from people like Mark Glenn mm-hmm. and Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars mm-hmm. and Robert Sungenis of Catholic Apologetics International and some of these other people, mm-hmm. here's the evidence that ultimately what has happened to our culture in my lifetime and what has happened to our nation mm-hmm. and that many of you in this room decry rightly mm-hmm. has a disproportionate amount of Jewish support mm-hmm. behind it, Jewish financing behind it, mm-hmm. and that we need to take another look at some of the presuppositions that some of us in the class have about our foreign policy, because the same people that are disproportionately behind the pollution of America's domestic scene mm-hmm. are frankly, in my view, provably the same people that are promoting something in the Middle East that is not what is being advertised. And here I am saying this in a conservative Lutheran church in San Antonio, Texas, which is military town USA.
Right.
I frankly have felt led of God to say, you know, it's time in love mm-hmm. and with the scriptures and with the Lutheran confessional tradition to take a look mm-hmm. at some of what we have presupposed to be true in this country in the last 40 to 45 years and to reexamine all of this. I said, I think many of us, myself included, mm-hmm. over time have been taken down a road that is a false road, and we need to take a much closer look at who, frankly, our real enemies are, in my view.
Well, what you're saying is very interesting. The only thing that I would caution is that we be cautioned not to say Jewish.
Yes.
Probably we should say Zionist. And the reason I say that is because okay. the people who are part of all of this are not only people who profess the Jewish faith. There are quite a number of Christian Zionists who also feed into this whole idea of the United States as an adversary to everything in the world that is not Jewish and not, or what they call Judeo-Christian.
And their international leader is right here in San Antonio, John Hagee of Cornerstone Church, the
exactly.
head of the Nefarious Christians United for Israel. So
exactly.
you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
so if
we
say
to
Jewish only, then we limit this. And also I
yes.
know there are quite a bit of Jews who are very upset by what they see is going on. They feel, in fact, that some of these Christian Zionists are greater zealots than the Jewish Zionists, and that actually they are the ones that are exploiting the Jewish people to use them in order to advance their own a unique biblical interpretation of the end times, and they don't want any part of it. So there's a lot going on right now, but I would be comfortable saying that certainly this is Zionism, this is the effects of Zionism that we feel in the United States, that the phenomenon that we have identified from our life, from our childhood, this erosion that we have watched, that it seems is pretty much guided by the media, is because it's a well-known fact now that Zionists control the media. Now, it used to be if someone said something like that, or you were considered a nut and a conspiracy theorist. But nowadays, it's very plain who the people are, the corporations, who lead these corporations that own the major media outlets in the United States. It's very clear what their interests are. It's very clear what their political agendas are. And I think that our march into Iraq in 2003 made it very clear who guided us into that war. It was the New York Times that published the newspaper front page mea culpa. Judith Miller, who was a known Zionist. I mean,
yes.
her name popped up everywhere with this WMD story. She was one of the ones who brought the WMD story. Her name popped up again in the Valerie Plame case, and she was one of the people who had something to do with Valerie Plame and her husband being persecuted because they took, you know, an opposing position on the war. She popped up again in several of these cases, one in Chicago of Palestinians who had been brought to the United States and imprisoned because when they filled out their immigration application, they said they had never been part of any subversive or illegal groups, which they hadn't. And then after Clinton issued the executive order that made all of the resistance groups in Palestine terrorist groups, then they went back and applied that retroactively and said, well, all of these people lied on their immigration because they were affiliated with this particular group, and many of those groups were humanitarian groups at the time. They're affiliated with this group or that group, and they're terrorists, and they have to be exported or they have to be prosecuted. without going into any of the detail, because in a lot of the cases, I don't know the intimate details of those cases, but I do know that she popped up in all of those things, along with Stephen Emerson, Daniel Pipes. I mean,
exactly.
There's no way to avoid any longer the perception that Zionists are dictating this. They are
exactly.
dictating the intellectual, the academic, the political, all of it. So the only thing that I think we can say, though, is that it's not limited only to people who profess the Jewish faith.
Yes, exactly. I think you're exactly right. And, you know, as I look at this whole thing, I think of a young man in my church who on a Wednesday night, we were just talking about Iran in the context of ancient Persia, having a conversation about the books of Daniel and Esther. And I had an ancient biblical map of that region on one side of the chalkboard and on the other side a map of the modern Middle East according to the Sykes-Picot borders, and was pointing at the two. And this young man, just out of nowhere, in reference to modern Iran, said, "You know, Pastor, I think we ought to nuke these people." I'll tell you what I said when we come back, and then we'll continue this conversation with Anissa Abd El Fattah, the National Director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back. This is Mark Ankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today, very special guest, is Anisa Abd El Fattah. She is the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, known by the acronym N as in Nancy, A-M-A-W. N-A-M-A-W, the National Association of Muslim American Women. I wanted to remind Anisa and also the listeners that this tends to be a time in these next 6 minutes or so of frequent commercial interruption, and then we will get back to a longer period of conversation with Anisa in the show's final hour. This is my opportunity to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can contact us at republicbroadcasting.org or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. We need your support, folks, and the American Free Press needs your help as well. You can get a subscription to AFP by calling 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. Willis Carto and Chris Petherick have put together a very, very fine team at AFP that includes our own Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn. That includes Mark Anderson, who was my guest on the show last week. These are just a few of the guys that week after week after week are giving you the real story in regard to what's happening in this country politically, culturally, and economically. And these are the folks that are warning us, as RBN warns us, about the dangers of this new world order and what the Zionist movement is doing to this country, both domestically as well as internationally. So support the Republic Broadcasting Network and support the American Free Press, which, again, you can contact at 1-888-699-NEWS. Matthias Chang, my good friend in Malaysia, who has several books out under AFP auspices, wrote me a greeting just yesterday to say hello. And I was reminding Matthias that I've been telling the listeners about some of the information in his latest book, which is entitled Brainwashed for War, Programmed to Kill, the Zionist Global War Agenda. Matthias Chang, of course, is an internationally known attorney in Malaysia, and this book, which is coming out under the auspices of the American Free Press, is well worth your time, and it has a lot of the data in it that corroborates what Anisa was talking about this morning, and that is who it is and what it is that controls the American news media. Matthias Chang tells us the specifics in regard to the six major media conglomerates that control virtually every print and electronic outlet of consequence in the United States. Very fascinating reading in terms of cross-referencing those connections to the Zionist lobby and to the oil companies, to central bankers and to arms merchants, just to name four constituencies that all seem to be behind this nefarious war on terror, that seem to be behind this propaganda push for a war with Iran that is not only not in this country's interest, but in my judgment would be a situation where we would be committing mass murder in the name of freedom. Folks, we are losing our soul. We are losing it constitutionally. We are losing it spiritually. We are losing it culturally. That's my message to you today. We need to get back to the old republic, where we stayed out of other people's business that did not concern us and that was not our right to be involved in, and where we were concerned about the constitutional liberties of our people in this country that government could not and should not trample upon. We need to get back to that. We will return with Anisa Abd El Fattah, the National Director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Mark Ankoff's America returns live on the Republic Broadcasting Network from San Antonio today. Stay tuned.
A message for all.